I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a nice show planned out for everybody today, Brian. Very excited. And as we were sharing yesterday, we're starting a very special series of segments on my show this coming Monday called Biden's Top 100. We'll dive deep into a particular policy each week based on a theme and explain what Joe Biden has done for you in various policy areas. We're going to start out with the economy. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, let us know how you think a particular policy has impacted your family. 608-688-9088. You can leave us a voicemail there. If you want to answer our question about what do you think makes a tax system fair? How should we structure a tax system? You can go and provide that feedback at civic.audio/taxes. But Brian, that is not the only thing that's starting on Monday.
Uh-oh.
There's more.
There's more?
There's more.
There's always more, everyone. There's always more.
There's always more. We are starting across the network the Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. That is going to kick off next Monday, June 3rd, with Pat Kreitlow's Up North News, 7 a.m., bright and early. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, that's delicious.
What could you win? Lots of cool stuff. There's going to be Wisconsin Dells prize packages, Brewers club level tickets. There's also a very special Scani Summer Staycation.
Oh?
Oh, yes. I like a good staycation.
I love that. I love that for everyone. I love that. Honestly, I'll take the Brewers tickets. I'll take the... I'll take the
D, all of the above.
Yeah, all of it. And I know the people who are putting it together. And it's a really good package. It's really good. You want to win this. So make sure you pay attention. Listen to your Civic Media app.
Absolutely. And to win this and to register to win, you're going to need the Civic Media app. So go ahead and go get that from your favorite app store. It is, of course, free. I love it. Our listeners, Brian, you folks out there, you know I love the Brew Crew. Unfortunately, I got to work with this Flatlander over here that likes the Cubs. Listen, Brian, you can't be perfect.
I chose the Cubs, too. I'm just letting you know I chose the Cubs. But also, I was...
Your judgment's so suspect.
I hated baseball. I was converted while watching the Cubs. So that's... Nothing's worse than a convert.
We should spend... You know, discovering a love of baseball is like watching someone taste a really good wine for the first time. All of a sudden, an entire world, a universe opens up.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's... I can see the religious aspect to it.
Oh, yes.
Baseball, you know, baseball parks are churches, you know?
They are churches.
Watching my dad, who grew up watching Mickey Mantle at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Watching him walk into Wrigley Field for the first time, because they got really good seats. They had just made, they just missed the playoffs again. We got really good seats. Got to watch Mark Pryor strike out like 14 and then get the game blown in the end. But anyway.
Baseball.
But watching him come up to see the green field, and he looked like a 12-year-old again.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Yes. Our regular listener and good friend Greg in Waukesha letting us know that the Brewers are leading the Cubs 4-2-3 in the seventh. And yes, Greg, Brian Kelly's great at many, many, many things, but choosing baseball teams to root for is not one of them. Yes, he is a Cubs fan. We will critique him mightily and frequently on this show for such a lapse in
judgment. I could probably beat most of you in a Brewers trivia contest over the last 10, 15 years or so.
Probably. Not many people are good at factoid retention. That's a special skill.
But I also was watching them, too. I was, you know, watching from afar going, I wish I had CC Sabathia.
But I have a signed baseball from CC Sabathia. That's how much of a nerd I am.
He's a good
dude.
Then
we lost him to who? The Yankees.
Well, everybody loses everyone to the Yankees.
Yes. Small market teams just cannot keep up with the payroll of the big TV network teams.
Yes, they can. They just don't.
Stop.
They absolutely can. There's no reason. Yes, they can.
We were not planning to talk about it. No, they cannot, Brian.
Yes, they can.
No.
Yes, they can.
No. Do you know what fractionally, what the Brewers' entire payroll is as it stacks up to the Cubs, St. Louis, and the Yankees? All right.
Yeah, very small.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nothing compared to what Oakland has done to themselves and the other teams.
Well, but this is not to say that people spend money really stupidly or that teams on occasion can moneyball their way into postseasons. It's not to say that.
The people who own these teams are multi-billionaires.
We've now morphed into the discussion, which is basically the same discussion as to why does the public pay for stadiums and arenas?
They don't. They shouldn't. They do, but they shouldn't. Okay, go somewhere else. Have some other suckers pay for your stuff. You billionaire.
Limited supply, Brian. When there is a limited supply of a highly desired good, often the one selling such highly desired good, here baseball skill, talent, and the team itself, often sets the terms of the deal. Basic microeconomics, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that you're a billionaire. You should have... You should. The only people stopping you from having a good team is you.
I don't disagree, but that's not the way that the baseball economy works, nor any of the large three biggest professional sports. We haven't even gotten into racing, which is its own money pit.
Yes, it is.
I do not understand. Just turn left for 3 hours. I'll watch.
No, I mean, that whole thing has a whole subtlety to it and things that. Enough that, okay, I can see, not my thing, but I can see someone getting super into it. Obviously, they do, but
yes,
but it doesn't matter. It's all going to be sports gambling in a minute anyway.
Yeah, give it 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Sportsbook is open at Civic Media sponsor Pottawatomie Bingo and Casino.
That's true.
Sportsbook.
They're putting sportsbooks in almost every single new stadium. In fact, Wrigley Field...
is going to put up sports book.
Already does.
Wow.
Already has one of the largest sports
books. Pete Rose must be really mad.
He also is a bad dude. He's just, by all accounts, a bad dude and also bet on baseball.
But listen.
While he was
again, a complete tangent.
Yeah.
We did not plan on talking about this. No. Let's just, if being a good person were a precondition to the entry of anyone into any professional sports hall of fame.
Back up.
Yeah. Exactly. And about 3/4 of them would be booted out immediately.
Absolutely.
It's like if...
I'm just saying, let's not... I'm not shedding tears
for Pete
Rose.
I'm not romanticizing Pete Rose. Yeah, I'm just saying, as an emblem, as a symbol of sports gambling and all of the... To me, Pete Rose, what he did, bad. What the NBA referees did in that scandal, worse.
I stopped watching the NBA because of the... LA Sacramento.
I swore off for many, many years myself.
Kobe went down and full-on elbowed Mike Bibby while he stood there, and Mike Bibby was charged with a foul while he was bleeding on the sideline.
Roll the tape? What?
How many free throws did the Lakers have?
Oh, my gosh.
So going back to baseball real quick and record books and Hall of Fame.
Please.
They just I think yesterday, added in the Negro League stats
I was so
professional baseball.
Finally, there some of baseball's best superstars, most accomplished players came from the Negro Leagues. I actually meant to talk about that. So thank you so much for reminding me, Brian. If you're not familiar, Major League Baseball announced, I believe yesterday or the day before, it might have been Monday, Tuesday, ish, that all Negro League players, all of their statistics would now be considered on par with and be considered in Major League Baseball's record books without any asterisks. To me, only seems appropriate given that, you know, the last 25 years of Major League Baseball has been dominated basically by steroid scandals and PED scandals. Again, some of the Negro League's best players put up stats that would not have been touched by the regular major league players for decades.
Yeah, and if you ever are worried about the competence levels or like the playing field between the two, it's pretty much the same.
Yes.
Do you know how good Jackie Robinson had to be to even be considered? He had to be so good stupid not to put him in.
Yes, Jackie Robinson is to baseball what Barack Obama is to politics.
Uh-huh.
Is that a good...
Ish, yeah. I mean, he broke a barrier and everyone said, well, now racism is over as the dude is getting just pummeled with like everything.
Spit, racial slurs, getting food thrown at him.
But the important thing is that the talent level was pretty much par across the field because
I've heard baseball fanatics argue that the talent pool in the Negro Leagues was actually at a higher level of performance.
I would not be surprised
than was in their contemporary MLB.
Because as you know, you gotta double up and triple up how good you are and have to be perfect almost every single time, or else they will tear you down and destroy you and shut down your entire league. Mm-hmm. Unless they make money off it, then you're absolutely fine. But it's awesome because now you get to compare people across time and how good they were during that time. And you have a new new on-base leader. You have a couple different stats have moved. And a bunch of people got boosts in their stats from being
half their career in the Negro League.
Ichiro was gone. Ichiro only spent 10 years or so in the major leagues, but he had a whole career in Japan beforehand. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he had started here. But that's the type of idea. But I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool. And,
awesome. My dad's, again, a great one to watch baseball games with, because he'll often spout off on, there's a statistic that they should actually keep. And it would be this. And one of my favorite particular statistic is he calls it batter pitch selection.
Okay.
And you would know if a count's 3-1, this is what you should be. These are the only pitches in this section of the zone. This is it. It has to be sweet spot, fat down the middle. If you're 0-2, the zone widens. And so is that batter swinging at the pitches that they actually should be? What is the batter's quality of pitch selection for swinging? I think that's a brilliant stat.
Yeah, they're doing not only that, but the angle of swing.
Oh, yeah.
The rate of your swing, exactly where you should be doing. And there's a big fight between getting, what is in your head and what's actually real.
Yeah. Yes. Well, in all of sports, they say swinging and hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do. You have to have the fastest reaction time. Brian and I will actually talk about some politics after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to a special baseball introduction here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with actual politics and stuff in a moment. I'ma keep on running cause the winner don't quit on themselves. What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. With me in the booth is Brian Kelly. You want to join our conversation, our debates about the finer points of baseball statistics and whatever other political things we'll get to today. Of course, you are welcome. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Got to give you a game update. It's now tied 4-4, Cubs Brewers bottom of the eighth. There's a bit of an injury delay. It's not Yelich. He's up to bat. It is the count's 1-0, not a single out on the board. So Brewers got 6 outs to put one up on the board and take the Cubs out in a 4-game series here. Should be fun. Beautiful day to watch baseball.
My Uncle Stu's out there. Say hi. I'd say hi to Uncle Stu, but he's not listening.
Shame, Stu. Shame. So right before, I always do a little headline check right before we come on the air. Good to see what's popping, not just relying on my news updates on the phone. And just about an hour and a half ago, a headline popped that absolutely scared the bejiggers out of me. Not because I didn't assume this was happening anyways, but because the company actually said, oh yeah, this is a problem. We're working on it, but we're not sure how well we're going to be able to do to prevent this problem. OpenAI, which is one of the leaders in the artificial intelligence, especially large language model systems, software, applications, etc. And large language models, it's you talking to a smart speaker and saying, Alexa, play WAUK, which you can do, and you'll hear your local Civic Media affiliate. That's a large language model based piece of artificial intelligence, your little speaker thingy. That's AI.
Most of that has bugs worked out of it.
Yes.
But there were times when somebody
was having
a conversation in the other room, and next thing they know, they ordered 40 cords of lumber.
It was very... Listen, I had my, like, the first gen Alexa devices sometimes whispered to me. So, like, weird thing. Hello. Hello, Maggie. The temperature is. It was very strange. But large language models, this is ChatGPT type stuff where you can speak in sort of normal context with the odd syntax and language usage that we all use as normal human beings. And it'll spit back out information and such to you. But OpenAI came out today, Thursday, and said that it has identified and caught groups from Russia, China, Iran, and Israel using OpenAI technology to try to influence political discourse. Now, we all knew that these actors were doing this. Yep.
Water is wet?
Water is wet. Artificial intelligence will be used to manipulate you in election seasons. Shocking, I know. But the fact that OpenAI came out and actually talked about it publicly, I was quite surprised.
That's actually very, very good.
It is. We want companies to do this. OpenAI apparently removed accounts associated with well-known propaganda operations in Russia, China, and Iran, an Israeli campaign firm, and a previously unknown group originating in Russia that the company's researchers dubbed, quote, bad grammar. The groups respectively used OpenAI's tech to write posts, translate them into various languages, and build software that helped them automatically post to social media. And of course, the algorithms that are then used by social media companies to try to bump up content based on engagement can then be manipulated. So it has this domino effect. You're using AI to basically create ghost posts, ghost comments to other posts that drives engagement that then manipulates the algorithms that social media companies are using. And you effectively suck eyeballs into this robot-created content. And what pray tell might you think Russia... But what do you think, Brian, they might want Americans to become convinced of at this moment?
How horrible it would be if we gave any money to Ukraine.
Yes, that would be bad. And that's the kind of thing that they'll... And of course, it doesn't help that, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, people like Ron Johnson, they're out there trumpeting all these Russian propagandist, pro-Putin, pro-authoritarian, pro-dictator talking points. And then their misinformation machine, their propaganda machines in Russia using OpenAI, which is a U.S.-based company, the technology developed and shared largely for free to the public. Russia's then using that to pump our social media networks full of garbage, robot-generated garbage, which then Marjorie Taylor Greene reposts, also the MAGA president.
Now,
former president.
You can say, oh, well, I'll just not watch a whole bunch of propaganda and I'll stay, you know, off my phones and everything like that. Well, let me tell you a little thing here. I want you to go and look up an article, everybody. It's called There's Something Wrong with the Internet. And it's basically OpenAI type of thing. What happens is people do things like, let's take something innocuous, like Peppa Pig. We like Peppa Pig, right?
I'm pro Peppa Pig.
Yeah, I'm pro Peppa Pig, too. So Peppa Pig... gets disseminated, right, by other people and like me who like to make funny videos with Peppa Pig. Oh, isn't it funny if Peppa Pig meets a knight and gets her head cut off and there's some blood and everything like that. Meant to be funny for adults, nothing like that. However, in my tag, I may have a Peppa Pig there or something like that. Well, what happens is the machine that makes, we want clicks. We want clicks so much all the time. And you know who clicks a lot?
Kids.
Your kids.
Yeah.
So your kids are going to keep clicking on these now approved Peppa Pig cartoons and whatnot.
And you're going to see your violent Peppa Pig content, Brian.
But not directly. What it will do is the bots out in Russia, out in China, and things like that just generate to go and repopulate. So it's the same clip, but just a little bit different. So you click on that too, is just trying to get someone to click. But next thing you know, your kid's crying because Peppa Pig is dying and screaming at them in some sort of evil language.
But that happens to you with respect to your political beliefs, you can't not see, I guarantee you, some content you look at today is likely going to be AI generated. Certainly the ads are that you're seeing, the pop-up ads. And it doesn't matter what platform you use.
That doesn't mean that the entire thing is evil in and of itself.
Correct. It just means
you have to be aware of how it's used.
That's correct. And it also means you have to go past, you know, well, my friend said that this person said, and you have to check your sources. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I want to share after a couple of brief messages what OpenAI's representative, what their spokesperson said about this. We'll talk specifically about a couple of these groups from these different countries. And I want to hear what you think about all this. I mean, yeah, I expected it. I didn't expect the artificial intelligence companies to start telling us about it. So that's a pro. Hey, good on you, OpenAI. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll talk about that a little bit, and then I got to talk about the persnickety, the prickly, the painfully slow, and the nearly half the time totally wrong Judge Aileen Cannon. All that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, being produced by the fabulous Brian Kelly here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Out of my mind, out of my mind.
Wrote it down, one. I read it out.
The number of runs the Brewers need to beat the Cubs this afternoon. One.
Funny, that's exactly the amount of runs the Cubs need to beat the Brewers.
I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Baseball update, fans. It is 4-4, bottom of the eighth. There are two men on for the crew. Zero outs. They should be able to punch one through, knock on wood, everybody. The OpenAI problem and the sort of exponentially more power, it just makes bad actors so much more capable of doing really, really bad things, right? Like that we know, and maybe I'll spend a whole show sometime soon, or maybe not the whole show because we're doing Biden's Top 100 starting Monday, refreshing our collective recollections about Cambridge Analytica. But if you recall that, or any of these scandals, any of these, what do you call, public misinformation machines, AI just turbocharges that. So the good news here, again, was OpenAI came out, said this happened. Ben Nimmo, the principal investigator on OpenAI's intelligence and investigations team, said that none of the groups from Russia, China, Iran, and Israel managed to get many followers. But the volume of text that these actors were able to generate and the lack of errors in the text, they said, was pretty alarming. The specific examples or the specific bad actor users was a group called Spamouflage, a previously known group originating in China, not to be confused with the Broadway musical Spamalot. No, this is Spamouflage. That group used OpenAI's tech to write posts in Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and English. The Iranian group, known as the International Union of Virtual Media, they used OpenAI to create articles. Bad Grammar, this was the previously unknown group out of Russia, used OpenAI to help make a program that would automatically post on the messaging app Telegram. And just like Brian Kelly told you, what was their main focus? Posting both in Russia and English, arguing that the U.S. should not be supporting Ukraine. The Israeli political campaign firm called Stoic also used OpenAI to generate pro-Israel posts about the Gaza war and targeted them specifically at people in Canada, the U.S., and Israel. So here's where we are. The scariest thing is you think about sort of the deep fake plus, you know, any AI's ability to generate content, and you bring those two things together. Again, if you've not heard the term deepfake, it is what it sounds like. It would be, if you're watching me on YouTube or X or
folks,
Facebook, right?
Your best bet is to go and watch Arnold Schwarzenegger deepfakes.
Oh, scary.
They are the best and also the scariest.
Yes.
Because you got Arnold Schwarzenegger singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
And it sounds like him.
Sounds just like him.
Yeah, it would be like as if you, many AI experts, it's not all of them, but many AI experts believe we're going to get to a point with deepfakes where you can't tell if it's real or not. And so again, if you've got AI that's generating content, that's putting words in political actors or other influencers' mouths, and the AI itself, the robot, can then not just create the content, but knows where to post it, when to post it, to try to maximize and leverage the algorithms to manipulate your mind, it makes our responsibilities as information consumers, we have to become much more sophisticated, much more evolved consumers of information.
You know what saved us? You know what has saved us? That now that I, like the way that they have talked about it, what stopped them was bad grammar and things like that.
Yes.
The complexity of the English language is keeping us actually somewhat relatively informed.
You're not wrong, Brian. I speak wonderfully accented but grammatically horrifying French, and I can sometimes read a little Spanish and understand what it means. Almost all Latin-based languages that I've experienced, so much easier grammatically to put it together. English is nearly infinitely complicated. There's a million different ways to say exactly the same thing. It can be, now this is not to say that other languages don't have complexity. Of course they do. But if you, it's like the fourth verb tense in French and Italian, which is like the ancient past. Well, so what? It's another verb tense. I mean, you work in passive voice, all the different syntactical constructions in English. It has helped us, I think, withstand a little bit of the AI revolution, but that time is coming to an end. Little game update, Brian. So sorry to say. Top of the ninth, Brewers up 6-4. So long.
Yeah, it's all over. Farewell. Now. I'm just going to give up now. You've converted me with all of your, now I'm just a Brewers fan.
Perfect. You heard it here. Brian Kelly, Brewers fan extraordinaire.
I already was okay with him, but. It's fine. Totally
fine.
It's fine.
Let's talk about Judge Aileen Cannon. Really interesting article that came out in the New York Times. This was, I think, came out yesterday. And they go through a series of her rulings. Now, she doesn't do hearings in court frequently. And I'm talking about specifically in the Trump national secrets case. This is the one out of Florida. There's only been 7 public hearings on motions in 10 months. That's how slow she's moving.
Lots of paperwork.
Lots and lots of paperwork. But what has emerged is a woman who is extremely ill-confident and very thin-skinned. You know what I want in a judge? Low self-confidence and very quick to anger. Highly defensive about their capabilities. That sounds like someone who'll be a good jurist.
Very even-tempered.
Yes. So when Jack Smith had asked a few months back, this was in December, hey, can you move this case along? We're concerned about the pace. She kind of lost it. She said to him, I can assure you that in the background, there is a great deal of judicial work going on. So while it may not appear on the surface that anything is happening, there's a ton of work being done. I can't tell you how weird this is. I worked for a federal appeals court judge. I've been in and out of federal court my entire career, going now surprisingly and embarrassingly, and oh my God, I'm in middle age, over 20 years of lawyering. Judges don't act like this. This is just, generally speaking, The temperament of judges on the federal bench, these are the Article III judges appointed for a lifetime, is counsel, sit down. No, your request is denied. Moving on. It's just the defensiveness from a judge that sits there for the rest of their life just isn't a thing because they needn't be defensive. The fact that this woman is, I think, speaks to the larger problem here, which is she may very well not be competent. Now, the other thing that bothers me and that this article gets into, which is really interesting, is that she often, in her written rulings, doesn't really explain in a lot of detail her thinking, like her method of analysis. There's very little that gives anyone that's observing or reading these rulings any idea about sort of her legal philosophy or what her sort of legal influences are. This is very, again, this is very strange. And she's ground this case basically to a complete stop by granting hearings, which, again, she's only had 7 in open court in 10 months. She grants hearings for everything. I mean, if Donald Trump's lawyers could, they would file a motion to be we'd like a bio break the next hearing at this time, and we'd like argument on our hearing about the bathroom break. But before that, we'd like a bath. I mean, everything that they ask for, she gives them a hearing. This indicates a judge that doesn't know what they're doing. Parties file, and listen, I've worked on billion-plus-dollar cases in federal court of nearly infinite complexity. I worked on Enron. The judge did not grant hearings on every motion that was filed. There were some motions that the judge could look at and say, well, this is stupid, or this doesn't have a basis in the law, or I've read the law, and I will just deny it. And so generally, hearings are reserved for issues of some complexity where the judge actually has questions that get beyond the written argument. The briefs go beyond the briefs. What's interesting about Judge Aileen Cannon is that there are a few instances where you read the transcript and you've read the briefs and you think to yourself, where's her reading comprehension at? I mean, they're kind of painfully embarrassing moments. Here's one, okay? Last week, Judge Cannon had one of the prosecutors in a hearing. This guy's name is Jay Bratt. And he was talking about the Pinkerton rule. Okay, Brian, do you know who the Pinkertons are?
Go back. Those are huge fans of Weezer.
Yeah, well, there's that. But if you ever watched, I'm going to forget the name of the HBO show that was set in the Wild West back in the day. The Pinkertons were a private investigator, sometime rent-a-cop, that were engaged by a lot of the railroad magnates and you know, homesteaders, etc. But the Pinkerton agency was a bunch of kind of mercenary for-hire private investigators back in the day. The Pinkerton rule is this well-known legal theory that any member of a conspiracy can be held accountable for any crime committed by any member of the conspiracy circle, right? Like,
isn't that a cornerstone of like RICO laws and things like that?
Okay, cool. Yes. It's often referred to as the Pinkerton rule. And there's a case. There's the Pinkerton case. That's where the rule gets its name from, which you would think a judge with access to Google or any other internet search engine would know. So the prosecutor Bratt is talking with Cannon and he refers to the Pinkerton rule and he says the rule would apply to Donald Trump's dealing with his co-defendants in the documents case, Wolf Nauta and Carlos de Oliveira. And the judge was perplexed by this somehow. And she asks the attorney, well, what authority are you relying on for this rule that any member of a conspiracy is responsible for any crime committed amongst the co-conspirators? And he was talking about it as the Pinkerton rule. And he looks at her. Well, I wasn't there. But he sort of sheepishly had to say, well, the authority for the Pinkerton rule is the Pinkerton case, and then explained it to her. Like, that is okay, just
so she's
beyond.
Basically, unless she's Leslie Nielsen and she happens to be a cop,
correct,
and has to somehow be, you know, run the national anthem or something, and she doesn't know the words, but that's weird.
Very weird. And she gets even things that have nothing to do with the law, per se, wrong. This is another moment from last week's hearing. I'll get to it after a couple of quick, important messages. Reading and listening comprehension, perhaps not one of Judge Aileen Cannon's top 10 skills, which is a little scary considering she's a judge.
You know, I have a mind that might be able to get around, you know, passing the bar and that type of thing. You know what stopped me more than anything from, you know, actually even getting into a whole lot of fights is paperwork. And I know that being a judge and doing lawyer stuff is
paperwork, reading and writing and understanding things and then writing more about them.
Feels like it's the job.
One would think, except if your name's Aileen Cannon. I'll finish the afternoon's takedown of Judge Aileen Cannon. I do this every couple of weeks because she just keeps giving us gifts out of the Southern District of Florida. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You got a comment or question, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
The defense is wrong.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Wisconsin, you don't have to pretend you're high. The Brewers won. Game's over. Excellent. I'm Maggie Dawn. He is Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been talking about Judge Aileen Cannon. All joking aside, some of the exchanges, some of her decisions are frankly downright frightening. The woman, I don't think, has any clue about how to judge, let alone how to be a judge in the most important criminal case, one of the most important criminal cases this country has seen in the last decade. You know, I've criticized the voter manipulation case happening in New York State Court. We know the Supreme Court's going to drag its feet and screw up as much as possible and declare that presidents are kings for some purposes. So the January 6th case against Donald Trump, that's not going anywhere. This is the case that matters the most to me, that I think is the most clear cut, that shows in the most straightforward way the real threat that Donald Trump poses to each and every one of you and your families. From a national defense perspective, from a judgment perspective, from a I'll follow the rules perspective. And we've got a judge that doesn't know how to judge. Seems to have reading comprehension problems. Seems to have listening comprehension problems. So this is also in the hearing last week, as reported by the New York Times. This is a defendant's lawyer. The guy's name is Stanley Woodward. Now, this is one of those things that should have never get a hearing. He's basically asked for the right to seek discovery from the entirety of the executive branch of government.
Oh.
I would like all of the emails from the entire executive branch of government and their text messages.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what? I'd say, since you can't read it all and you can't have that many interns are going to disseminate, let's put it in AI and have it disseminated by the AI.
Yeah, it'll just distill it down for us. I'm sure.
So it's easier to read.
Yeah, it'll get all of it right. Huh. So this is Stanley Woodward and the judge going back and forth about this discovery request. He basically is claiming without any offer of proof, which is a technical legal term that says, oh, here is some factual basis that like what I think might be happening might actually be happening. Basically that he got blackballed from potential judgeship. Now, listen, the response from everyone that has ever worked in any kind of judicial selection capacity would be like, yes, no kidding. You got, but you're representing one of the defendants in the documents case. Like, no one from the Biden administration is going to be appointing you judge. Stop it. Stupid. And there's a deliberative privilege amongst government actors. We can talk about certain things, et cetera, et cetera. So he's seeking documents, emails, text messages, and other communications that includes his name. Any messages exchanged by prosecutors that mentioned his name. Now, of course, prosecutors in this very case would be talking about defense counsel. It's like, that's not legitimate. This is an easy, like, you don't need to have a hearing, judge. You just no, motion denied. But she asked Mr. Woodward what he wanted, and it was in the motion. And he answers, I would like the messages exchanged by prosecutors that mention my name. She asks him again, but can you explain that to me slowly? What about that is not clear? And then he does it a second time. She still seems confused, and she goes, all right, so I understand your request. It's, quote, all documents, communications, and text messages concerning Mr. Woodward, reading from the document. That took like a 15-minute. This is what I'm talking about, people. Like there's just no indication that she actually knows how to do this job at all whatsoever.
Like, if you're just sitting there delaying for time, there's so many better ways to do that. But that's just a...
But she's doing it about every... granting hearings on every single motion. She doesn't understand it. It takes forever to get through material with her.
She's learning on the job. That's one of those jobs. You can just figure it out. Just throw it into the fire. It's fine.
Well, and then the response... Okay, so the prosecution responds, he explains for basically 5 minutes that there's that this entire line of inquiry is not supported by law. It's based on this guy's fantasy. He doesn't get to rummage through the government's private messages. You just don't. It's not relevant to the defense case. Who cares if they don't like you? Cannon misses the point. She asked the prosecutor if he was suggesting that prosecutors did not have any of the messages that Mr. Woodward was seeking. He's like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's not entitled to them. And he's failed to present any evidence that would lead to any indication or any presumption that he would be entitled to them. She responds, so I guess what you're saying is you're not sure if there are any emails that would be responsive to Mr. Woodward's request. And he's got to go back. No. He's not legally entitled to them. And she says, I know you disagree with the factual basis, but would that provide a basis for the discovery request? And he just said, no, it doesn't matter if I agree or disagree with the facts. The facts as alleged or claimed by Mr. Woodward do not give him the basis under the law to obtain these documents. She totally missed the point. And he gets frustrated. And she's like, well, why don't you calm down now?
I don't know what to do with that. What do you do with that?
I would lose my stuff as a lawyer. I have been in front of some judges that needed a little bit more help, like following the bouncing ball through particularly sometimes complex legal questions. Nothing that I just talked about, that was not complex. That is not a difficult or complicated legal issue at all whatsoever.
And you're not signing anything. You're not.
No.
This is just reading. It's not, let me check bark, let me fill out a form or something, or have
that's how bad it is.
This isn't somebody getting me to fill out my taxes for me because I'm a little bit, I just want to make sure it's all right. This is, okay.
Do you know what words mean?
Okay, what?
Yes, it's really bad. Anyways, if you want to check out the balance of that article, it's called Emerging Portrait of Judge in Trump Documents Case, Prickly and Slow. Yeah, no kidding. I'd also call incompetent in the New York Times. I'm really excited. I got a special guest joining me, Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez. be hopping on with Brian and I after news, weather, and sports. I've got your sports news. Brewers take another one from the Cubs. Cubs fall to 4.5 behind in a 6-4 afternoon victory this Thursday. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.